Hall 18. This was a place that I spent many years. Many of my memories are stuck here on Hall 18. First, I'm going to start out with arriving to Hall 18. Walking up the stairs, this was a stairway that was in front of the building, facing the church. Most people didn't even know it was there. When you got to the third floor, you seen this big wide, about 4 feet wide, very thick, heavy door. It had these metal plates on it that was folded and soldered. There was dents all over this door from people beating on it. Many years of abuse that door had taken, but it never gave way. Upon walking through the doorway, right to your right was the dormitory. This had approximately 20 beds in it. And at the end of the dormitory was the doorway that went to the dining room and to Hall 16. Everyone hated this big dormitory. When you had no privileges at all, this is where you slept. This is where at night you'd see the cockroaches and the rats come from under the dining room door. Also, they had these big iron radiators in the dormitory. And the holes from the pipes that went to these radiators, also rats would come up through those holes. From the stairway, if you turned to your left and took two steps, you'd be into the main hallway of Hall 18. As we walked down the hall towards the office, that would be to the right, the first room you'd come to would be the clothing room. And this had the split Dutch doors on it. It was also connected to the shower room, which was the very next doorway. And in there, they had a row of sinks, and you walked around this big cement and tiled feature. And behind that was the shower, and I believe there was three shower stalls in there. Or they weren't stalls. It was wide open. It was just three shower heads. Upon leaving the shower, to the right in the main hallway on Hall 18, you'd come to the bathroom, which was on the right. The most disgusting place in the world. And if you went beyond that, you would come to where the drug room was. And we had a drinking fountain right next to the drug room. And in this also had the split Dutch door. And four times a day or so, that's where Thorazine or Millerel was handed out. On the split door was a flat area, and that's where they used to have this tray, a little metal tray that had all of our little name cards in it, and they'd put our medicine in this. And for the first year or so, we actually had pills we took. Us kids got wise to that and put them under our tongue and whatever and was spitting them out. And then around 67, they started to give us liquid meds, and they'd pour a little bit of orange juice on it. It still tasted awful. It just make you gag. And this was so that we wouldn't spit it out. They'd make you open your mouth and look in there, and then you'd get a quick drink of water, and then you were stoned on either Millerel or Thorazine. Seemed like there was, you was either on one or the other, and I do not know the reason why that was. Inside the drug room, there was a radiator, a chair with soft cushions on it, little refrigerator, and the medicine cabinet, and that was always locked, and only certain attendants had the key to get the medicine out. Right next to the drug room was the office, and it also had a doorway that went from the office to the drug room as well. And this also had the split Dutch door to it. Though the room was small, it could still fit a lot of attendants. And every shift change, they would all gather in there and discuss whatever they discussed. It had an old roll-top desk in there. It was probably the original equipment from when this building was built. And the big chair in there that sat in front of it, it was old. It must have been 100 years old or however old the hospital was. And in that desk, at the bottom of that desk, was a great big drawer. That was where all of our records were kept. And from time to time, they'd pull your records and add something in there about you. Whether it was true or not, I have no idea. I've never really taken a good look at my records. If you were fortunate enough to be called to the office, they brought you in there and shut the door, and you were drilled. And usually, you wound up in seclusion when you left there. That was a place when you were called to the office, your throat went all the way down into your stomach and you were getting sick. Next to the office, this was facing down the hall on the right, there was three seclusion rooms, and they actually had nothing in them. They had a big, thick, heavy door with a big, thick plywood bolted to it, so you could beat on it all day long, you wouldn't hurt it. And above it was an open, screened-in area where they actually took the window out and just put this wire mesh. And the window that was in these rooms were high off the floor. I mean, when I was a child, I remember on my tippy toes to look out the window, and it had this big, heavy mesh over the window, so you know you had no control. You couldn't open it. You couldn't open your window. You couldn't just barely see out of it is about all you could do. But they had three of these, and there was actually a fourth room, but I don't ever remember it being used as a seclusion room. It actually had a bed in it, and I remember someone being real sick one time, and that's where they put them, was in this fourth room, just to kind of isolate them from the rest of us. As I remember it, the seclusion rooms were always full. And the normal stint in there was about 2 weeks. You could go in, or you could be placed in seclusion for as little as running in the hall, or being tricked into running in the hall, or back-talking, or not using Mr. or Mrs. We were very, very controlled. Just past the fourth room was another stairway, and another big door with folded steel on it. And just past that was another large door, but this was the staff closet, or where they went into and changed their clothes and whatever. And I had never actually been in there. I stood in the doorway a few times looking, but it was kind of like their little secret little hideaway place. Just past the staff closet, there was a small little hallway which led down to another room, room 44, I believe it was, and that was my favorite room. There was three beds in there and a register. I liked that room because it was so quiet, and it was off the main hall, and it was very quiet in there, and also in the wintertime it was very warm because it had its own register in there. Also in that hallway was, on the other wall, was a big closet. It had two tiers to it, and that's where we kept our clothes at, I mean our coats at, and our winter boots. And on the top of that was where they kept just the basic supplies that we used throughout our stint there. Just past the hallway there was one other room, and that was at the end of the building there. I never was in that room other than to visit my friends that was in there, and there was four or five beds in there. And the pool table was down there at the end of that hall. I learned how to play pool, and I learned mathematics by angles and stuff. The pool table was very educational. On the other side of the wall, going back towards the office, it was lined with small rooms, and each room had two beds in it. And these were the top privilege rooms. If you had top privileges, you would wind up in one of these rooms, and it was very desirable because you had much more privacy. At the end of this hallway were the rooms where the double rooms were, and this was heading back towards the office. There was a small little cutaway, and that's where the television set was placed, and it was about 6 feet off the floor, and we had all of two TV stations. So we spent many hours right there watching TV. And if you just went past that just a little bit, there was a room there, and then also that's where the day room was at. And the day room, we had tables set up in there, and every night we would play cards and cribbage and other board games, and we had these damn puzzles. Someone was always putting together a puzzle. Someone would always steal a damn piece of that puzzle, so it would never get complete. In the back of the day room, that was where the porch was. We all called it the cage because it was caged in with this real thick, heavy-gauged wire, and there was no escape. It was awful cold in the wintertime. Sometimes they'd just lock the door and wouldn't even let us go out there in the wintertime. And there was a radiator in that area, and that was a warm place to be in the day room. And if you went past the day room and right straight across from the drug room, there was another room. It had, I think, four beds in it. It was a narrow room, though. Then to get back into the main hallway again, right across from the bathroom and down just a little bit, was what was called the barber room. It had an electrical outlet in it. All other rooms didn't have an electrical outlet. So this was why it was called the barber room. And they had a barber chair set in there. And that was where they butchered us. And as soon as your hair touched your ears, you got a butch haircut. Or sometimes, if they was feeling nice, they'd give you what was called a Princeton. That was a butch with a little bit of hair in the front. As you left that room, there was one more room right straight across from the shower room. It held three or four beds, and I was in there a couple of times, actually. Nothing special. If you left that room, there was one more room at the end of the hall, and that was by the little area that you look down the hall into the dormitory. And there was six beds in that room. And that was, I kind of liked that room too, but it was cold in the wintertime, though. I do remember that. As you left that room, the only thing left was the end of the hall, and there was a big window set up there, and that faced the chapel. And I stood there many days